Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see that sea of faces out there. Well, I want to address my remarks mainly to the young people this morning. So if you're old enough to go to school, you're a young person, maybe right through up to 19 or so, you take particular attention today, please, because I want to address my remarks to you. I know we have a lot of young people maybe reading comics or playing games or doing some little thing like that, but I'd like you to put that down and just look up here and listen to what I have to say, because my remarks certainly concern you. Well, why are you here today, young people? You're here because your parents are here, no doubt. You're tagging along with Mum and Dad, and what the feast means to you is it's a tremendous time for you to be away from school while all your schoolmates have to sweat it out there back in the school classroom, and you can enjoy the sun and surf and the fresh air down here in this beautiful environment. And I wonder, you know, does it perhaps mean a little more to you? Well, first of all, let's quickly go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, something that I picked up when Mr. Matthews was explaining about the offering. Deuteronomy 16, and starting in verse, 13, it says, "And you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in the corn and the wine." Verse 14, "And you shall rejoice in the feast, you and your son and your daughter." Let's stop there. We needn't go any further, because that's the point I want to make, that it's not only Mum and Dad that need to enjoy the feast and learn something from it, but it's the sons and the daughters also. God says it in His Word there in Deuteronomy 16. So the feast has something for you as well. It pictures something for you, you young people down there. There's something here for you as well, and I'd hate to see you go home without having seen that. Well, we've heard Mr. Dean was speaking about projecting forward into the millennium, and you might remember he said that, well, when Mr. and Mrs. Dean, when they were going to become spirit beings, there was little Kurt who was going to be translated to Jerusalem, and it sort of left a great big gap and a vacuum in the mind of the young people. Well, what's going to happen to us? A great traumatic experience. Mum and Dad are suddenly on a different plane, and here we are, physical human beings. We're going to be left here upon the earth as physical beings. What's going to happen to us? Are we going to be thrust off somewhere into some commune or put into a boarding school and have our education furthered, or what's going to happen to us? And you have that great big feeling of insecurity and wondering, well, when that time comes, what's going to happen to me? And I can't blame you. Well, you're going to go on living. There's no need to panic. You're going to... I said to my son this morning, I said to him, "What are you going to do, son, when we're spirit beings?" He said, "Oh, I'll go camping." You know, he said that in all sincerity. And he thought, well, that's the end of the family for him. Do you think God has that in mind? Do you think God would suddenly stop the family from existing because you're a spirit being? Was Mum and Dad a spirit beings? No, I'm sure that God will carry on the family structure. Mum and Dad will still be able to appear as spirit beings before the children and be vitally interested and concerned in their upbringing and welfare. Mum and Dad are still going to be around. They'll have a lot of other responsibilities, but you're not going to be separated from them forevermore. They're still going to be there, and that's comforting and consoling. Well, we heard yesterday that we, the mums and dads, are going to become kings and priests, are going to have positions of kingship, as was pointed out in Revelation 5 and verse 10. And if we are going to be kings, what would that make our sons and our daughters? Surely that would make them princes and princesses. Let's turn to Psalm 45. Psalm 45, it's speaking about a king here. It doesn't really identify who the king is, but it seems it certainly appears in the physical. Psalm 45, if we break in, because we haven't got time to go through the whole thing, about verse 9, it's talking about king's daughters, and it's speaking really of the marriage of the king's daughter in this particular chapter. In verse 9 of Psalm 45, "King's daughters were among the honourable women. Upon your right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir." You know, solid gold attire, tremendous. Nothing substandard there, really quality there in the world tomorrow. dropping down a little way to verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Yeah, nothing inferior there. There's really going to be quality there for you young people, and for the girls and for the boys. You're not going to have, you know, cast off clothing to wear. You're going to have the very, very best is available for you. Okay. Well, if we drop down to verse 16, it says, in verse 16, speaking of the future, it says, instead of your fathers shall be your children, whom you may make princes in all the earth. Whom you may make princes in all the earth. That's quite a big verse, isn't it? It says an awful lot there. Instead of the fathers shall be the children. Remember that Mum and Dad, they went off to the headquarters at Jerusalem. They were going to be pillars in the temple there, going to have positions of prominence and importance. And it looks like the children certainly are going to be princes and, you could say, princesses too, in all the earth. Probably in the recolonizing of the earth as the example ones to be sent out, providing they're ready, of course, for that particular job. They're going to be out there being the example, not in the minority as they are now at school, where everybody is doing something totally different to what you should do and do. You won't be in the minority then as you are now. Remember, Jesus Christ came to the earth to show the people on the earth that God's way could be kept. He came as a physical human being. He didn't come as a spirit being. He came as a physical human being. And don't you think that people in the world tomorrow, of those that are left in the world after the wars that they're going to be, are going to need a physical example? A physical example on how, just illustrating how life should be lived? And who are going to be the ones that can be that example? I can't think of any people except the young people that live over into the millennium. Well, those who come out of tribulation, well, sure, they've repented, but they haven't had time to learn this way of life. It's only going to be the young people who are going to be skilled and knowledgeable and understanding concerning how God's way should be lived. It's, of course, providing they're learning it now. Well, that's what this feast pictures for you, a time when you are going to be in a position of authority. You won't be the group that is being pressured. You're going to be the centre of attraction. Everyone will be looking to you, young people, for the way of life to live. And just as a prince just doesn't come into a position without any sort of training, you're going to need training too. What about Prince Charles? He was groomed right from the very beginning for a particular job, to be a prince and to be a leader. And you too, you need to be groomed now to be a leader in the world tomorrow. And that's a tremendous responsibility, Mum and Dad, isn't it? That little child sitting next to you is going to aspire to a great position in the world tomorrow. A big responsibility to you to encourage and teach that tiny little child that you have. Or mightn't be so tiny. Might be a bigger one, a bigger young person that's perhaps sitting in the hall somewhere because they feel they're too old to sit next to you. But I hope they're listening too. Well, there are lots of ways you can prepare. I just very quickly, in the short remaining time I have, just give you some examples. One particular one that I think is very prominent and obvious is YOU, Youth Opportunities United, just showing the church concern for young people and the need that young people have. Because it offers that scope for that particular training that you need to go through to qualify so that the young people can aspire to that position of a prince and a princess in the world tomorrow, being an example to the world. In YOU, you learn initiative, you learn leadership, you learn to understand what the Bible means, you learn how to conduct yourself and now how to communicate to others and express yourself. We have now a public speaking course which is about to be incorporated in the program to be sent out to all the various chapters so that young people will learn how to express themselves. Isn't that tremendous? You're going to need to be able to do those things in the world tomorrow, and you're going to be able to learn to do those things now. That's really something. There are other areas in which you serve. You serve the church. There are many people serving the church, young people serving the church now, even at this feast time. I see young people helping in the parking. I believe there are young people even to provide special music this year. a way they can serve the church. And the bike ride was a classic example. The church received tremendous favourable publicity. It not only served the church but the community as well, in providing funds for charitable organisations. And YOU always has one church project per year to one community project to fulfil each year. So you learn to serve the community, because that's what you'll be doing in the world tomorrow. You'll be serving the world community then. And you're learning it in a small way now, so that you can do it when the time comes. It's preparing you for the world tomorrow. Then we have the Leslie Dam camps, the New South Wales camp this year. I remember the Leslie Dam camp when we started it in 1972. We had young people come through that gave us tremendous problems. But by the time the camp was over, we sorted them out, and they've come back in subsequent years as supervisors, would you believe it? As supervisors, just showing that there are fruits. There are fruits in this system. It does work. Well, you might be in the minority now, but you're not going to be in the future. As I said before, you're going to be